Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here it is. Spotted. Kicked. And it is no good.
Not even close.
It's not even close. It barely reaches the end zone, and the game is over, and the Philadelphia Eagles have escaped with a 10-7 win.
That was Mel Reese on Eagles Radio, and escaped is the perfect way to put it because that game got way more complicated at the end than it ever needed to be. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. If you were hoping to tune into an offensive battle, Pearl, you're out of luck. Final score, 10-7. Nobody scored at all in the first half, but then it got really hairy at the end of the game with some questionable decisions, really from both coaches. And because of the loss for Green Bay, they're now 5-3-1. They're in third place in the NFC North. And Matt LaFleur was being asked about his job security last night after the game.
Yeah, excuse me for one second. Let me check the standings here. Yeah, that's a win, Maggie. And the Eagles are 7-2. That's all that matters. Yeah. I see a win. Let's move on to next week.
As the Eagle fan, you want no questions about Nick Sirianni's boneheaded plays at the end of the game.
Come on. I mean, you
they were boneheaded, Pearl. You don't have to be a homer. You don't have to be a homer. That was a bad decision.
Did you call the play at the end of Minnesota when they did the same exact thing? Was that boneheaded?
Well, it's boneheaded if you don't learn from that.
He caught the ball in Minnesota and they won the game. It's 3rd and 7 or 4th and whatever. That's honestly
fourth
their highest percentage play is throwing downfield to AJ Brown.
Okay, wait, hold on. So let's set this up for everybody. So it's 10-7. Okay. Philadelphia has the lead. And for some reason, they decided to throw the ball on 4th and 6 with 33 seconds left.
From the 35?
From the 35, from the Green Bay 35.
Yeah, because the other option would have been to punt the ball.
Punt the ball, try to pin your opponent with 30 seconds left and no timeouts, I believe, at that point. So instead of trying to make this as difficult as possible for your opponent, you actually crack the door open because, spoiler, the pass went incomplete. So now you're handing the ball back to Green Bay at their 36-yard line with 27 seconds left. And they actually then start taking shots downfield. It was a really windy, blustery night. That's why Nick Sirianni said, you know, he was confident that a field goal would not, you know, would not be an option for Green Bay. Their field goal kicker is dealing with a groin issue, all that stuff. But to even crack that window open for your opponent, to give them multiple shots at that point at getting in field goal range when you're only up by 3, is asking for disaster. Now, you could say the result is the result, but the process there was ludicrous.
Well, yeah, I know everybody's criticizing this play, but the alternative was they're at the 35, they punt it, it definitely goes to the end zone, it's at the 20. Is it really?
You could squib kick it, you could do something like that.
The odds of them not putting that punt into the end zone or 0.0 that night. I'm just telling you, there it easily could have been a punt into the end zone, and Jordan Love's in a desperate situation with no timeouts anyway. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't quite as impactful as everybody in the Philadelphia media is making it. And the same exact play worked to the T against Minnesota. That they've done this before. Why Packers knew it was, I think the Packers did their homework and knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Because he was covered like a blanket.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's fourth and six. What's her, give me another play. Well, if you're the Eagles, what do you run? I mean, they're very,
punt.
They can't. You would have punted.
I mean, would have. But here's
but
the thing.
There's a good argument to go for it on that play, too. A lot of coaches would have probably gone for it because the punt is not going to make a huge difference either. Might kill a couple more seconds.
Yeah, well, seconds were everything. And it was such an adventure on third down for both teams and fourth down where the Eagles did not convert on either of their fourth down attempts. But that Minnesota game where this last second throw the ball on fourth down to ice the win, that worked because there were actually points scored in that game. There were actually touchdowns in that game. This was not that game. You've got to, if you're Nick Sirianni, and again, they're the winning side here, Philadelphia, but you know, we can quibble with how they handled the end of the game because there were no points. Both these teams could barely move the ball, and even when they got into each other's territory in the first half, both quarterbacks had fumbles.
Yep.
So, like, to me, play the field position game because that's the game you're in. So, you know, I always ask this question for Nick Sirianni, like, what do you say you do around here? And you're looking at this roster, Pearl, and you guys have a great roster.
Eh.
Jalen Phillips was awesome yesterday.
He was good. Let's not confuse him with Lawrence Taylor, but go ahead.
Well, sheesh, is that the bar for Jalen Phillips?
I don't know. Yeah,
Jalen Phillips, okay.
Jalen Phillips was the new toy in the house, and like, yeah, he was definitely good. But I know this great roster. Just wrap your head around this fact that Nick Sirianni is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
just enjoy that little one. And by the way, it was a boneheaded play. I agree. I'm just playing devil's advocate. But do you honestly do you downgrade the Eagles' chances of winning the Super Bowl because of this? Because if you do, I think that's a mistake.
No, I mean, you guys have basically almost have a red carpet to the number one seed. No one else in your division has even above 500 record,
right.
Let alone giving any resistance whatsoever. And there are some other good teams in the NFC. The Rams are a good team.
Yeah.
I thought the Packers were a good team. We'll get to that in a minute. But here's my thing about just what I'm saying about Nick Sirianni and last night, Eagles win 10-7, but the coach almost blew it. This is a football team that is so much like baseball in the sense that I give all the credit to the general manager. All the credit to the general manager because it's a good roster. It is. And you have plenty. And
well, I mean,
the coach, I think, is just getting so lucky. I don't know how, but the roster is so good. But anytime the coach has to make a big decision, whether the result works in your favor or not, I generally always disagree with the process.
Yeah, so. No, I think Sirianni, first of all, he's much more of an alpha, I think, than you think. Like he is sets the tone for that team in a sort of like a Dan Campbell way. He's a tough dude. And I think the players love him, so I don't know if that has any value in itself. Like, the players respond. That's his thing. He's a vibes guy. They emotionally connected to him. I think there's value in that. And also, too, I mean, he's just, like, it's a good coaching staff, and that's, I guess you would credit the head coach for that. Last night, he was super conservative, and I was killing him in real time. I was yelling at my TV. I'm like,
sure.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Turned out it was brilliantly played. Like, he knew the game that was in front of him. I guess when you're on the field, like, you could tell neither offense was going to be able to do anything. The Packers receivers all of a sudden could not catch a single thing. They hit him in the hand. It's about 9 times.
Yeah.
So I think he played the game he was in. It's a 35-yard line. I understand what you're saying. Like, the punt really was not going to be exactly what... If they had punted in that situation, it probably would have given... Jordan Love still would have had a chance to have a sort of a Hail Mary situation like he did. So I understand you're killing him for that, but I would not downgrade Sirianni. Like, honestly, I think that Eagles team is a well-coached team overall. Fangio is amazing on defense. Kevin Petullo is probably a bit of a problem, but I think he's got Nick Sirianni in his ear saying, hey, run the ball on 3rd and 12. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but that's typical Eagles. There's a W at the end of the day.
Okay, so now for the Packers. 2 straight losses at home in Lambeau. And to me, that whatever you want to say about the offense, and let's talk about it, they clearly don't have enough weapons. With Tucker Kraft not on the field, their tight end, like the offense has just gone completely into the garbage can. But to me, if I'm sitting here as a Packer fan, what I'm really lamenting are 2 different plays that became negative plays because of an illegal formation call. That is a killer. You're at home. That's two unforced errors. The first wiped out a 22-yard gain to Christian Watson on a third down that would have given a ton of momentum to Green Bay and put you in the red zone. The other was on a fourth and one. Josh Jacobs ends up fumbling the ball, but it wouldn't have mattered because they had an illegal formation also, which is just a killer when you're in these really tight games.
Well, the fumble didn't matter. They also got tackled 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I assume you're talking about the key fourth down play.
Yes, the fourth and one.
I mean, that was terrible. Everything about that play was a disaster. I mean, the offense stinks right now. When Dobbs went out too, that was bad. They're generally just, I don't know what's going on with that offense. It's a disaster because it was exactly like the Panthers game. Like, they would make some nice plays. I blame LaFleur. He's got to open up that offense a little more. He just is so intent on establishing Josh Jacobs that they become predictable. Maybe Jordan Love will come up short, but I would definitely let Jordan Love throw 10 times more a game than they do. That's so Matt LaFleur, by the way. He is just this I got to run the ball guy.
Well, I mean, listen, the conditions were not good last night, so I can understand you're in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the wind is the way it is. Maybe you want to get the ground game going. What's funny to me about the Packers offense is when you talk about the passing offense, in terms of yards per pass, they're averaging 8 yards per pass. It's sixth in the NFL. Like, they are trying to find these guys. I just don't think any of them are as good as we think, and a lot of them are hurt all the time. You know, would have loved to have Matthew Golden out there last night. Couldn't do it. Got hurt in the last game. You know, would love to have Romeo Dobbs for a full game. Feels like you can't get that guy for a full game, let alone a full season. You know, so Christian Watson is kind of the only guy out there, and he gets banged up a lot as well. And the Eagles did a good job, relatively speaking, on him last night.
They did the same game plan against Carolina. This wasn't just the weather, just to be clear. They finally let Jordan Love throw against Carolina, and he tore him apart in one drive. Now, maybe because the defense is laying back in a prevent situation, but again, you saw it last night. All of a sudden, when they let Jordan Love pass, they started making some plays, and if guys could catch, they would have even made more plays.
Yeah, it was a slog. It's been a slog for the Packers offense. It feels like when it's great, it's great. When it's bad, it's so terrible that even an amazing performance by the defense, who deserves a lot of credit last night.
They have players.
They're amazing. And obviously they made the big Micah Parsons trade. At one point he chased down Jalen Hurts and forced him, you know, to throw the ball away. And Troy Aikman even said it on the broadcast, like, usually Jalen Hurts could get away from anybody except for Micah Parsons. But meanwhile, there's high expectations for the Packers. And anytime a Packers head coach loses two games at home, you're going to have major consternation. I was going to say agita. Here is Matt LaFleur when it was asked about his job security. Said he'll let others speculate on that.
I'll leave that for everybody else to decide. I'll just focus on the day-to-day and trying to do... I feel like you're always coaching for everything in this league. You know, that's just my mindset. It's always been that way.
I mean, the offense doesn't seem to have a ton of urgency, even though I think they don't get credit for the amount of explosive plays that they go for. More from LaFleur. Can I hear it? Cut 19, please, Ray. Says, being a head coach, you never feel safe.
You know, you can't ever exhale. You got to always be pushing, and that's just my mindset. So, and that will be my mindset until they tell me not to coach anymore.
Okay, so a little background on this also is that Matt LaFleur has a contract that runs through next year, 2026. There was a chance, Pearl, where they could have extended him before the season started and decided not to. So kind of letting him dangle out there a little bit. Now, there's plenty of time. They still could hand him a gigantic contract, but they're letting him play this season out, and obviously he'd only have 1 year left on his deal.
He is 72-35-1 in his career, with the one, I think, being that Cowboys game earlier this year. That's an amazing record. And he's on the hot seat just a lot about today's NFL.
Well, was he in the playoffs? 3-5. And that's
not bad.
With home field advantage for a couple of those, including the NFC Championship game where Tom Brady threw three picks in the second half and they still lost.
3-5 is awful, Pearl. What are you talking about?
Yeah, 3-5. And we killed Lamar Jackson for that.
What do you think Lamar... Yeah, I know. I mean, Lamar Jackson was the number one seed. 3-5 is not awful. They came in as a wild card and almost beat the Niners. And then they went to Philly. Like, they have not been... they've been on the road a lot of those playoff games. It's not the worst.
Well, they also lost to the Niners in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, home games as he lost as a favorite.
I mean, the thing in the playoffs is you're playing against other playoff teams. I don't think 3-5 is an embarrassing playoff mark at all.
You had Aaron Rodgers for those, you had Devontae Adams for a lot of the for some of those
games.
The
Green Bay storyline has been that they've been a disappointing playoff team under him.
Rodgers. Once Rodgers left, I thought that Jordan Love run was pretty good. Like that, but nobody was disappointed in that team.
Well, they had one good run. It was going into Dallas and shocking everybody and beating Dallas. And then
it started
going
to rain against San Francisco, and they lost that game. Now, last year, they had no chance. I mean, like, they were going into Philly. That was not going to happen. I don't think anybody was killing Matt LaFleur because he couldn't beat that team yesterday. They were a touchdown underdog. Last year's playoff, you killed LaFleur for that? I don't remember that narrative.
We did not, but again, 3-5, that's five losses. You're talking about one that maybe is forgivable because the Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl. I mean, there's four others there where he, you know, listen, the thing is about the San Francisco game on the road in that divisional round, they had the lead.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6 years in. I mean, I personally am not a huge fan because I think he's a little over-conservative on offense, but normally, under normal NFL circumstances, that's pretty soon to fire a coach who's winning a title. I mean, Marty Schottenheimer won it at a high rate for over a decade. I don't know. It just feels like this is a fast hot seat to me. I guess you guys disagree.
Here's the thing. I think the record, the regular season record for him is definitely gaudy. But when you look at the 3-5 record, it's not like he went into a gunfight with a knife. You know, he's going into some of these games with the MVP of the league, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but that's a long
time. Now Jordan Love is the handpicked guy.
You got to get the Rodgers team. Even that Rodgers team probably overachieved. Like that team, like, remember, they drafted Jordan Love because Rodgers was stinking.
Okay, here's a question. If you put out a poll, is 3-5 a good playoff record for a coach? Right.
No.
What do you think is going to happen? And if it was your team, I think you'd be pissed off.
What do you think Sean McDermott is? He's probably 500, right? So, I mean, most coaches in the playoffs are around 500. That's like sort of the thing.
Mike McCarthy got fired for playoff failures too.
Yeah, but that team, to me, that was a massive playoff. There were some real playoff failures where LaFleur kind of resuscitated Rodgers. I'm not killing him for all that. Like, when Rodgers left, was anyone saying, like, oh, it should be LaFleur who goes, not Rodgers? Nobody was saying that. Rodgers was 40 years old.
Well, obviously. But, you know, I think there's also a little bit of victim of your expectations, right?
No, I think it's the Micah Parsons trade is why this is happening. Like, once you trade two first-round picks for one of the top three defensive players in the league, then your expectation is huge. So that's, I think there's more about Micah Parsons being there than the playoff history. Like, nobody, I haven't heard a lot of, oh man, he's a bad playoff coach.
Okay, well, so here's the thing.
The last 2 years have not, that has not been the story.
That's fine, but the defense is not a problem. But he's not a defensive coach, right? Like, that's, he's a head coach.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand.
But his side of the ball is offense. And now, with the Lions, who have, you know, continued to look, you know, a little up and down, but for the most part good, the Bears are finding a way to win these games, whether you like them or not. Minnesota seems to hang around all the time, even with a second-year quarterback. You know, this is a tough division. 888-710-4ISN. Question, is it fair for Matt LaFleur to be answering questions about his job security yesterday? See, the other reason why I think he doesn't look good right now, Pearl, is because Nick Sirianni did kind of crack the door open for you at the end of the game. Now, even if it was unlikely, there was a moment where you could have stolen that game at home, and that didn't happen. There was a moment when you could have won that Panthers game at home. Sometimes it's going to come down to these really tight spots, and it just feels like he doesn't have the answer. Maybe it's just guys are dropping passes.
No, I mean, LaFleur, that game, that was, to me, if you're walking away from that game, like, it's not the late game decisions by LaFleur. Like, it's just the offense is broken. And you said it perfectly. He's the offensive guy. The defense is amazing. The offense is broken. Yeah, he should be on the hot seat. I agree with that. I think you have a very talented team. And this, one thing I totally disagree. Like, Nick Sirianni, you are never going to give enough credit to. I think he's a better coach than you think he is.
That's fine, but he almost blew that game for his team last night, and that would have been an all-timer. Now, he didn't, but again, if you want to play the result, play the result. I'll play the process. That was rough. 888-710-4ISN. And we're talking about the decision to pass the ball on 4th and 6 with 33 seconds left. It went incomplete, cracked the door open for Green Bay to have a shot at a game-tying field goal. 888-710-4ISN. for ISN. Eagle fans, how you feeling? Packer fans, Matt LaFleur, is he the guy to get you to where you want to go, which is Super Bowl? 888-710-4ISN. Maggie and Perloff Show, let's go.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Philadelphia Eagles escape with a 10-7 W at Lambeau Field against the Packers. Very, very concerned about the Packers, who are actually my Super Bowl pick. I kind of understand why I did it, because Edgewood Cooper is a monster. Micah Parsons looks awesome. They have every level of their defense is good. I had no idea the offense was going to disappear like this. I figured last year Jaxon Dart was hurt, but...
Jordan Love.
I figured Jordan Love was hurt last year and they would figure it all out this year, but they're not quite doing that. Josh Jacobs just looks a skunch slower. So they're a mess. I think Matt LaFleur, the head coach, is definitely on the hot seat for real. He's got to open up that offense. I don't know how you do it without your best receiver, Tucker Kraft, but figure out a way. Just go for it. Hey, if you're on the hot seat already, there's no reason to be cautious here. Stop with the establishing the run. You know, you're not the 2000 Ravens who's going to win with defense and run. I know you think you might be, but Matt LaFleur definitely has to get out of character a little bit and be a little bit more like, I don't know, not like Shanahan does it. Shanahan can be conservative too. Who's at a Mike Leach? Give me somebody like somebody really.
Just
go for it, dude. Just throw the ball all over the field. They won't see it coming, because if anybody looks at Packers tape, it's the most boring offense ever.
Yeah.
Very conservative.
But then here's the thing. How do you square that with just the raw numbers that they are sixth in the league in yards per pass and they are top 10 in pass yards per game? Like, it's weird, because I kind of agree with you. Like,
really?
But these are just the raw numbers. Like, they are going for explosive plays. I just think either the wide receivers are not good enough or something else is going on. Now, let's not discount. The offensive line has been jumbled up as well. They lost their center last night, and the Eagles were getting pressure on Jordan Love like crazy. So, like, they didn't sack him that many times, but they were getting pressures, and that was new guy Jalen Phillips.
But let me just say, I'm like, oh, you read me those numbers. I'm like, oh, I'll bet you the Bengals are somewhere in there. They beat up the Dallas defense, the Bengals defense, and the Commanders defense in their biggest passing games.
It's feast
enough
or famine.
Said.
Yeah. Let's go to JT is in Atlanta, a happy Eagle fan this morning. What's up, JT?
Hey, what's up? Thank you guys for taking my call. Bro, I can listen to you argue every side of every argument all day. It's like a guilty pleasure. It's like you know, eating too many donuts. You know it's not good for you, but you just can't stop yourself. Like, the Eagles, I don't know if you feel the same way, Perloff, but I'm a little concerned, right? Because, you know, if you couple, and I'm not saying it's all Sirianni's fault, but if you couple last night's kind of weird decision to go for it, because I agree, punting it was the move, right? I mean, the defense was doing its thing, pushing back, make it so hard. That was too close, even though they missed the field goal by like 30 yards.
They never got the snap off cleanly, and that thing just died.
Yeah, but to put your team in that position, I think, was the wrong move automatically. But if you couple that with the late loss to Denver, now as you see what Denver is as the season's gone on, you couple that with the loss to the, you know, to the Giants, which fired their coach, you know, there are some red flags, I will say, that kind of have me concerned about this team and really being able to finish it off like we did last year.
But JT, did you think that they had kind of answered those red flags the last few weeks? Like they looked like they were in big trouble, then they came back a little bit?
Yeah, so then that makes me concerned, right? Because you had a week off. What happened during that week that you regressed instead of progressed? Right? Like, that shouldn't be happening. That shouldn't be happening. Like, I mean, like you talk about Andy Reid. Andy Reid wouldn't have let that happen. He's undefeated, like, or, you know, unbeatable after a bye. Like, that's what it should be.
JT, they just won after a bye.
JT, I kind of get what you're talking about, but you are acting like they lost. They did win last night, but you can't feel good about it.
But no, you can't. Right? That's one of those wins that you kind of, you know, you're satisfied because you got the win, but then at the same time, you got to be disappointed in how you got it as well. Like it shouldn't have been that hard offensively. I know that the Packers' defense is not bad, but that offense looked horrible last night, and the run game hasn't activated it all season. I mean, so, you know, and then with Lane Johnson going out, I just don't know. There's a lot of things to be concerned about as an Eagle fan.
JT, good point about Lane Johnson. Came back into the game after he got rolled up on. Yeah. He's obviously the standout tackle and will probably end up on some kind of Philadelphia Eagles Mount Rushmore situation because of how much he means to them. But came back in the game and gutted it out.
Yeah, I know. Troy and Joe acted like he died when he went out. And then, because he was getting carried off, man, he is a tough lumberjack of a man. He is gigantic. Listen, they went on the road to a winning team and on primetime and got a W. I think JT's overstating the they face the Lions next week. That's going to be a much bigger challenge. I admit that. But the Eagles are a hard team to predict. They're playing better than they did. Remember they lost to the Giants? I was like, this is 2023 all over again.
That's what you said for the first seven weeks of the season.
The defense. So I was really, really worried about the defense. The Giants scored 34 points on them. That is fixed. Now the offensive game, what's the obvious problem with the offense game? You don't have to be an Eagles fan to understand, like, where is A.J. Brown? What is going on? And what impact does that have in the locker room is a huge deal, too. So the lack of A.J. Brown is kind of simmering underneath the surface. I'm going to chalk it up to the weather last night. Andrew Bogus is here. He knows I like to cite weather for
NFL. Well, Devontae Smith didn't bother him. He came down with a 36-yard touchdown basically on a jump ball.
No, I know, but like this has been a problem. A.J. Brown's unhappy with his targets, and they seem like they got on the same page, and they were giving him targets, and now they just, again, he completely disappeared last night. Was he even, until that last play where they shouldn't have even been passing the ball, was A.J. Brown even in the game? How many targets did he have last night? Two or three, I think. I have no idea, but I don't remember seeing him much.
Let's get to Andrew Bogus, who's got everything else that's going on in the world. What's up, folks?
Guys, good morning. Your headline sponsored by Prize Picks, the hard-hitting football action even better with Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME, and get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. If you're wondering where Manny is today, he might be helping Brian Daboll pack up his house in Jersey. The Giants firing their head coach yesterday, the day after their fourth double-digit collapse on the road this season. Now, we haven't heard anything official from any current Giants yet, but former QB Daniel Jones did check in from Indy yesterday.
Never want to see anyone fired. It's an unfortunate part of this business. I think that's, you know, the reaction and, you know, hope for the best for him and everybody there in New York.
Oof, good thing the Colts are on their bye, so Jones can get those emotions in check before playing the Chiefs next Sunday. Dable 20-40-1 in four seasons, just 11-33 over the last three. Only the Titans have a worse record in that span. GM Joe Shane not losing his job, even though he and Dable were supposed to be a tandem.
Also, how is the defensive coordinator keeping his job?
Like that as well.
The head coach, I know the offensive coordinator, Mike Kafka, is now going to take over as the interim head coach, but there's no one else on the staff who might want to take a shot at this with the defense?
Yeah, while you're doing this, Shane Bowen with you.
Yeah, while we're handing out pink slips, everyone who's going to coach next year, take a step forward. Not so fast, Shane Bowen. I mean, not to joke around about someone losing their job, but they could use a new voice. Like, they actually do have some pieces on defense that are really good.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is perhaps they feel like Daboll had a lot more say in defense than we realize. Like, maybe whether it's calls or the guys that are starting, the guys that are playing a lot, like, that could have been it. Because that made no sense to me. That's the only thing I can think of is perhaps they said, hey, listen, Daboll had Bowen doing certain things that he would not have done.
If I were Shane Bowen, I'd say that, too.
I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to sound like his defense attorney, but I'm trying to figure out why that happened.
Dave's was in my ear. He was calling the defense. He was calling the offense. He was calling everything.
Yeah, considering what happened with Martindale, they had that friction as well. So maybe he had too much of a say in the defensive scheme.
Yeah, I mean, Daboll's a fiery dude, man. He is that guy who is not afraid to get into a massive argument and I think keep everyone pretty tense. And that's not the only thing that cost him. I just don't understand how you keep the GM.
Me neither. It's inexplicable.
Like, do the thing. Rip the Band-Aid. But, you know, there are some pieces on this roster, so I guess they're going to give Joe Shane all the credit for that.
Joe Buck told us it was entertaining, but it was scoreless at halftime at Lambeau last night. The first time since 2009 that Monday Night Football had zeros on the board at intermission. Only a slight uptick in scoring in the second half.
Hurts fakes. Looks. Steps up. He is floating the football. It is for Devontae Smith. Touchdown!
Smitty got it.
He took it away from the defender. He took it out of the hands of Evan Williams.
Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio. Devontae Smith scoring Philly's lone touchdown to put them up 10-0 in the fourth quarter at Lambeau. They won 10-7 after a fourth down stop and Brandon McManus's missed 64-yard desperation field goal as time expired. Jalen Hurts knows his side of the ball still needs to be much better.
When we look at ourselves in the mirror, it's not a capability thing. It's not a capability thing at all. It's, you know, we're very confident in what we can do. We just got to go out there and play at a high level more consistently.
His team did, though, win last night. The Packers lose their second in a row. They are now third in the NFC North and seventh in the conference.
What was funny about that?
Yeah. Wait, what's that?
You laughed when Jalen Hurts said we should be more consistent.
Well, Jalen Hurts is so laid back. I mean, and you even saw on the field. One thing, he was kind of cutting off some of his runs early last night. Once comes playoff, that's another thing. Jalen Hurts will lay out on runs come playoff time. That's why I'm not counting out the Eagles. One thing about Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley last night said he's the most underrated player in the league, and we forget he won a Heisman. Like, Devontae Smith never gets any attention, does he? He's an elite receiver. I don't think people talk about Devontae Smith in the NFL. They talk about him in Alabama. But
I think it's probably because A.J. Brown is such a whiner. Like,
right. I agree. He takes all the oxygen in the room.
I mean, stop like deleting your Instagram and then putting weird stuff and reading books on the sideline and generally trying to be the squeaky wheel. Meanwhile, Devontae Smith, who they paid, so it's not like the team's ignoring him. They gave him a massive contract.
But like, do you ever put him in the conversation amongst the great wide receivers of the NFL? Not really. I don't know if he belongs there, but he's certainly better than A.J. Brown is right now. And I still feel like everyone thinks A.J. Brown is the one.
So here's the thing about that. If they thought Devontae Smith is a top five receiver in the league, right, which is kind of what you're positing
here. I would say top 10. Top five seems a little rich, but he's in the conference top 10.
then, like, I think the Eagles have shown you, telling you that they don't think he's top 10 because they should have traded A.J. Brown's ass long ago. He's such a pain. If they thought that Devontae Smith could just pick up the load or that the offense wouldn't skip a beat without him, I think they probably would have traded A.J. Brown. I think it's shocking that he's still on the team.
Well, I think they complement each other really well because Devontae Smith, as great as he is, he's tiny.
He's small, yeah.
He can't be a high usage guy.
He's 170. He could, I mean... he could be 160. I mean,
he's my goal weight.
Yeah, and then you got AJ Brown, who, you know, looks like he should be a WWE wrestler. You know, so I think in many ways, like, Smith benefits a lot from having AJ Brown on the other side.
Yeah, but Brown doesn't like being a decoy.
Well,
clearly.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But this is the first time too. Smith's leading the team in receiving by a long stretch, and Smith's up way above his career rates. So he's definitely stepped into that one role. The Eagles, you saw the Eagles passing game last night. It's totally broken anyway, regardless of who the wide receiver is. Kevin Petula, the new offensive coordinator, is still a work in progress, to put it nicely.
Let's check in now on non-bust Victor Wembanyama.
1:14 all. Shot clock at 8. Shot clock at 7. Victor against Vucevic. Victor, step back 3. Yes, sir! Victor Wembanyama has done it!
He has hit a 3 to give the Spurs a 121-117 win in Chicago in November. Wemby finishing 38 points, 12 boards, 5 assists, 5 blocks. The first player ever with that combo of stats plus 5 made threes.
But, I mean, come on, Bogues. The guy is 7'7 and the best player on the planet. He really shouldn't be going down to the wire with the Bulls. He's got to win that game by 20.
Yes. I mean,
as our friend Spike. So who is it predicted Wemby would go 82-0? I love that.
Yeah, well, Spike was talking about is our former boss, Spike Eskin, out his afternoons on WIP. So if you want even more Eagles talk, you can find it there later.
If Perloff's not enough for you.
More Sirianni chit-chat. But he has this idea that if you put Victor Wembanyama and you compared him to, like, an adult playing with children, right? Like, all the ways, like, it'd be like a adult playing with, you know, people who are a foot shorter than him on a rim that's 2 feet lower. Like, if you just adjusted for Wemby's insane size, it's not as impressive.
Yeah, no, there's no reason. There's no reason he should be at 114 with the Bulls. I mean, come on,
Wemby. Well, these are not your older brother's Bulls.
The problem with that, though, is we've seen other guys who are 7'6 and 7'7. They all stink.
Right.
They're all like, not only are they, like, not even great, they're, like, not even good.
Yeah.
Is the best 7'7 guy, Jordan Murison or Boban? Manute Bol defensively was good.
No, he was. Manute was not good. Manute was a sixer for a long time.
He was a disaster. Yeah.
He developed the 3-point shot. Was hysterical. It was the funniest player of all time.
Slowest release ever.
But I say Yao at 7'5 is the greatest.
Oh, yeah. Yao was great. Yeah.
But Yao couldn't move. I mean, Wemby's ridiculous. I mean, Wemby, not only is he doing all this, and you see the video, he's like Kareem doing overseas and doing martial arts and things. Like, Wemby's the real deal. I get it. It's kind of funny. Like, he is, obviously, I was wrong. He's not going to be a bust. That being said, like, the expectations could not be higher.
Yeah,
like,
that's big of you to admit.
He's got to win the title this year, right?
The expectations are super high.
No, I'm just saying where the expectations are. Like, he's already there. Like, he's like
playoffs. Win a playoff series.
I think the Thunder are.
They're 8-2 right now. Yeah, I understand the Thunder. Like, no, I win a playoff series.
Yeah.
No, come on. From he's got to be deep into the playoffs this year. That's the expectation.
The West too loaded, man.
I don't know. LeBron and Jordan didn't win for a really long year eight.
I hear you, but they're not 7'7 and the best player on the planet. Those guys are munchkins compared to Victor Wembanyama. I mean, he's better than both of them combined.
The one thing, though, you're a big man. They have good guards, but eventually, playoff basketball, he's gonna have to rely on Fox and Castle and these other guys to hit shots too.
But he hits his free throws, which is always so different from Shaq or anything like
for
that.
For sure. But like, Shaq had Kobe and Tim Duncan had Tony Parker and Ginobili. Like, those guys got to step up too in the playoffs if they win a championship.
But I'm not saying that they're going to do it, but I do think the expectation raises higher than just win a playoff series. Like, I think people think they're in the mix now. I think for good reason. They're 8-2. If they should win a lot of regular season games. I don't know if you have to load manage Wemby at a certain point.
I mean, they load manage Stephon Castle. They're going to load manage Wemby. Yeah, they load manage everybody.
Maybe give it like a 3-week LeBron-style groin injury before the playoffs.
Problem was with him, with his health history, I think we'd all be, you know, blaring red alarms. Like, is this going to be the problem that's going to stop him from being a great player?
Have you checked your calendar recently and made up reasons why you can't go to San Antonio and apologize to him?
I got my reasons, Bogues. Don't you worry about that.
Okay. All right, well, that's where we got to leave it. Thank you, Bogues. Coming up next, we got a little clarity on one of the stories in the NFL that we are beyond interested in. It's that if we did like a ranking of stories we're interested in, this is number one, and it's not even, doesn't even have a close second. Maggie Perlow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Welcome back, Maggie Perloff, LL Cool J. Okay, Pearl, I always think this is really funny. It's an interesting tactic by Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Browns, because whenever he seems to be asked about Shedeur Sanders, I understand why you're not like letting the media and everybody in on every moment of your decision making.
Right.
But it's almost like he has no impact on this decision at all, right? He kind of is like, well, that's above my pay grade. It's like, well, it's not really, coach. Actually, you're the head coach. But yesterday, the quotes when asked about Shedeur was, oh, and actually we have it. Let's hear from Kevin Stefanski. He would not speculate on whether or not they'll even consider giving Shedeur Sanders a look.
I don't think it's fair to speculate, Daryl. We're committed to getting better as an offense. Dylan is certainly committing to improving every which way he can. And all the while, all of our players, young players, are developing and working so hard behind the scenes to make sure that they're getting better on a daily basis.
All right. I mean, you've lost 5 of the last 6 games and you just lost to the Jets. Like, what is the commitment to this third round quarterback, Pearl? Like, you and I might like Dylan Gabriel. I know we have a lot of Oregon fans in our audience. Like, this is not shaded Dylan specifically, but yeah, it's not like he's played so amazing that it would be unfathomable to look at Shedeur Sanders. And it's just an odd tactic. Like, are you really going to catch your opponent off guard with this? Is it like a strategic thing to not even entertain the idea of having Shedeur on the field?
I think they have a plan when they're going to use Shedeur, and I think it's at the end. I would assume maybe the last 2 games, last 3 games, I think the last 4 games. So he's just holding off until then. Like, yeah, I mean, first of all, Dylan Gabriel actually had some pretty nice plays against the Jets, believe it or not.
Well, the Jets just traded away their 2 best defensive players.
Yeah.
I'd hope you'd have a good day against the Jets.
I mean, was it a great day by any means?
They put up 20.
Yeah, was it a great day? But I think that he's just holding everyone off until it's Shedeur time. I hope it's Shedeur time. I mean, there's a chance they won't do it. But I think it's 2 or 3 games left. So what are you supposed to say now? That was clearly a coach trying to get out of answering the question, right?
Yeah, well,
we know coach speak.
Yeah, of course. But yeah. Here's the other part of this, right? Like, is Stefanski coaching for his job? Because we're not sure. First of all, it's kind of hard to read the Browns ownership because they may change their mind whatever way the wind blows. They just fired Paul D. Podesta, who was like a strategy guy who's in their front office, who famously Jonah Hill played him in the movie Moneyball. We're not exactly what he did in Cleveland, considering he lived in San Diego and they have a GM and a coach and an owner who's involved. So like, what was Paul D. Podesta doing? Anyway, clearly,
probably on a beach enjoying San Diego sun.
Actually, you know, being smart about it and kind of living in San Diego.
That's what I do.
But here's the thing, right? So things are starting to shake. And maybe D. Podesta, he's going to run the Rockies now. Maybe he saw the writing on the wall. Like, hey, you know, looks like this coaching staff or this GM may not be long for this. I better get out and find a nice little landing spot for myself. So I'm going to go try to revamp the Colorado Rockies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, they already have seven other Ivy League guys who are in it. Like, D. Podesta, I don't even... Listen, Andrew Berry is legit. Like, he's a Harvard guy with it. They didn't need... D. Podesta was ancillary.
No, but this is what I'm saying. Yeah. What we're asking, and I'm asking, what is the job security like for Kevin Stefanski? Yeah, and when you see things start to move and people jumping off the ship to take a job with the crappy Rockies, like, looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, no. D. Podesta isn't part of any of this. Like, he's not an integral part of the core of the Browns. Like, it's Andrew Berry, and more Andrew Berry. So I don't think the D. Podesta thing impacts Stefanski. I think this is really about Haslam and Stefanski. And I think Haslam came in, I think there's a good chance that Haslam said before the year, listen, we're not going to give you a quarterback. You're going to have to wait a year.
Right, because Deshaun Watson's still on the roster and expensive.
Right. So they're like, we're going to draft a guy in the third round, we're going to draft a guy in the fifth round, and we're going to sign these two old guys. Well, one old guy and one medium guy. And we'll see in training camp if either of them pops. You know, Kenny Pickett got hurt and ruined his whole training camp. So he didn't get a chance to develop him. They basically said, we're going to take a random Hail Mary at quarterback. It didn't work. So now they're going to draft one. The question for Jimmy Haslam, the owner, is, are we going to let Kevin Stefanski develop this next quarterback? And there's still a valid argument to do that because everyone knows the guy can call plays. He can coach an offense. This year is obviously a reset year for Cleveland. Based on the money, they have the least expensive quarterback room in the NFL by a mile. So, of course, they're restarting.
Slash most, because everyone made the mistake with Deshaun. He's just dead weight roster.
Yeah, I guess he's just not in the quarterback room. I mean,
he's technically there, isn't he?
But I don't think he's practicing yet, is he? I mean, he's not really there.
I just find this, like, very interesting. Because if I'm Stefanski, the only way that I even have a prayer, maybe there's no prayer of actually saving my own job here, right? Maybe that's out the window. But the prayer that I have maybe for my next employer, and I'm sure he will get a lot of looks, and he's two-time coach of the year for whatever that's worth. I mean, Brian Daboll was the coach of the year, and he now is, you know, packed up and got fired yesterday by the Giants. That award doesn't maybe mean what we think it means, but I'm sure he'd have a lot of other suitors. But, man, what would his stock look like if he somehow turned Shador into a thing? Because Shador gets a ton of attention. It's no longer going to be like Cleveland now is irrelevant. You know, I'm sorry, but Dylan Gabriel doesn't bring the sizzle or the buzz. Right. And Myles Garrett can have 100 sacks. They'll still lose. I mean, it's getting to the point where they are just irrelevant. And Shador makes them relevant again. Whether you love that or hate that, he does bring a lot of eyeballs and attention. People are very into his story.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. You're saying if Kevin Stefanski is running the show, he should take another Hail Mary and put Shador in there.
Totally. I would if I were him. What do you have to lose at this point?
I don't think it's up to him.
You're going
to
get fired with Dylan Gabriel, or you're going to have Shador go in for the last two games of the season where he probably looks terrible.
No.
Because your offensive line is probably a sieve at that point, and more people are hurt, and everyone's just playing out the string because you're a two-win team right now.
Yeah, but I think they're waiting for the Titans game on December 7th because that's going to be a really good chance for Shador to get a great start. Or if they want to give Gabriel a win. Then they have weak defense. They have the Bengals in week 18. That's a really great defense for Shador to play. They have the Steelers in week 17. That was a good defense to play. Now they look better. They have your Bills, who are totally flawed on defense on December 21st. And the Bears, whose defense has been up and down. So I think they're waiting until the end of the year when a lot of defensive players on teams are sort of pulling back. I think Shador will look better down the stretch. But I have a feeling that the owner is told Stefanski, you're okay. I think he's going to possibly be back in Cleveland. I mean, I would kill for that guy to be the Eagles' offensive coordinator next year. Philly native, famously. I think he went to high school at St. Joe's Prep where Matt Ryan went. He went to high school, one of the big schools downtown. I think he's going to be a super hot OC if he shakes loose.
But why wouldn't he just get a head coaching job? There's probably going to be seven or eight of them open. That's usually the average.
Well, I feel like if I'm an owner, I would take a guy who is not coming off a losing record because there's going to be a lot of other OCs. You get the Tampa guy, Grizzard. You'll have, obviously, Cliff Kingsbury. There's tons of offensive coordinators. I don't think Stefanski's a guarantee to get a job. I mean, look at the Browns.
Well, that's the other part, too. It's like Stefanski has two 11-win seasons in his tenure. So, like, that's really good because usually the Browns are not even sniffing double digits, but has never won the division. And, in fact, has come in last place or second to last in all but one season of being the head coach. And they haven't won. They won one playoff game, and ironically, he wasn't even at that game because he had COVID. They went into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers, which is not nothing, but he wasn't there.
Yeah, but he won't take
coaching for the basement.
I see him going offensive coordinator for 1 year and then back to head coaching.
Just crazy. To me, Dylan Gabriel has not played well enough for us to be like, well, he's really stiff-arming Shedeur Sanders, keeping him on the bench. I don't get it. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, coming up, we got some big news yesterday. We'll break it down.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.